Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Charlie Clark of Minty Digital, and today we are discussing company culture and how Charlie has run an agency for over 4 years without one team member resigning. Charlie is an SEO agency owner operating in both Spain and the UK. His goal is to create the ultimate working environment that focuses on staff's well-being just as much as he focuses on results for their clients. Thanks so much for joining us today, Charlie.
Hi, yeah, thank you for having me on.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm currently tuning in from the Isle of Wight in the UK. Normally, I'm based over in Barcelona in Spain, but just traveling for work at the moment.
Okay, awesome. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
I think what motivates us is a lot of the companies that we work with, we don't work with the big enterprise companies. Mm-hmm. We're working with small to medium sized businesses. So every time we get some great results for them, we help them hire more staff, take that business to the next level. We can really see the impact it's making on a personal level. It's really nice to be able to see that. And especially over the last year with everything that's happened, well, the last 2 years nearly, it's nice to be able to help a lot of businesses navigate their way through what's been quite a difficult time.
Yes, digital marketing, it's been so essential now more than ever with everything with the pandemic and all the businesses having to have a really strong online presence. So that must feel so rewarding. So how did you get into digital marketing to start?
I studied a course at university, which was more IT related, and I didn't actually do anything after that for a while. I went back to working at more of a construction background, and then it wasn't until I was back home for a while when I started working with a company who needed a bit of website work doing, and I know how to do that, so I helped them out, and before I know it, we were doing the SEO for them and the Google Ads. And we kind of grew them up from, they went from a small business to one of the more, say, dominant companies in the area. And then before I knew it, we had more companies asking us to help them out, do their SEO, do their websites, do their Google. And 4 years later, we're up to around 19 clients now on regular monthly payments. So
that's amazing.
It's taken some time, but it's going well.
Yeah, it does take a little bit of time. So you started off in construction and then you started freelancing and just kind of grew your business from there. Is that right?
Yeah, the construction company I was working with, the owner was a friend of mine as well. So yeah, we used to always sit at his cafe. There's a cafe that we used to sit at every day after work and kind of do this in the background. And eventually it just evolved to a point where we could step away from the day job, so to speak, and take it full time.
Okay, very cool. And then, so how does Minty Digital, how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
The way we position ourselves when we're approaching other companies is we call ourselves the digital marketing team that you wish worked in-house. So what we like to do is see ourselves as rather as being an external agency, which is a separate entity to the company we work with. We try and really integrate ourselves as a part of the in-house team, and we know that a lot of marketing managers that we work with are usually, they're overworked, a lot of targets to hit, a lot of people are working overtime to try and hit those targets, and there's not much resource usually available in-house. So what we like to do is work alongside those managers, and we give them direct access in Slack. They're basically a team member.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And then are you guys a full service agency or do you niche into specific services?
we were a full service agency when we started. We're a team of 10 now. So what we realized very quickly, in the first 2 years of working, was if we're offering 10 services with 3 or 4 staff, it's a lot more difficult to do that than run 1 or 2 services with 10 staff. So
exactly.
What we try and do is just, we try and specialize. Now we just do SEO. We're purely SEO.
Interesting.
Yeah, we focus on content marketing, link building, and technical SEO.
Okay, very cool. So let's delve into our topic now. And so we're going to be talking about company culture. And so tell us, how would you describe your company culture?
Our company culture. So we try to work on, we've seen this around a few times in the last year, but we try and work with kind of a zero hierarchy type model. Mm-hmm. And we try and give everyone just the freedom. Although we work very closely together, we give each other the freedom to be able to make our own decisions. Of course, we have people to report back to, but we try and keep everything a level playing field, give everyone the responsibilities they need to be able to do their job, mm-hmm. and also appreciate the fact that the people that we hire, certainly from my side, I want to be hiring people that know more than me. I don't want to be the ones telling people what to do. I want people to come with the knowledge. They're the ones that bring the knowledge to the table with us. So
okay.
We need to respect the fact that they know what they're doing. They're here for a reason. And we need to be giving them the freedom to be able to deliver how they want.
Okay. So you're really building them up as leaders within your company.
Exactly.
Okay. That's awesome. And would you say your company values really come into play when it comes to your company culture?
I'd say so. In terms of our company culture, we've had people, as we said when we first got in touch, everyone that's joined us has stayed with us for the long haul. And it's because, it's especially in the agency background, we know that there's quite a high turnover in general within the agency space. So it's been quite refreshing to know that we're offering people that. And I think it does come down to the fact that we're giving people the freedoms in regards to our benefits package. Again, way before COVID, we were offering these flexi times, remote working, the ability for people to be able to change their day around. Like if people that we work with have children they need to look after, or even mm-hmm. if they've got hobbies that are in the day, we let them break up their day just like a freelancer would. We allow them to kind of schedule their own time. Yeah, we think it's important because, again, coming back to the leadership aspect of this, as we understand people very easily now the capacity to go and work freelance. Mm-hmm. And some people, of course, prefer the agency model or the full-time employment because of the other benefits it brings. But we understand definitely there's a massive percentage of people that could easily go freelance that we work with, and we want to bring them on board. So what we're trying to do is move towards a more kind of hybrid evolved model there, where we're bringing on that talent, giving them all the benefits of an in-house job, but also the freedoms of what a freelancer would as well.
Absolutely. I think that's really smart. And then, so how do you ensure new hires will be a good fit for your company culture?
So we have, I would say, our interview process is as standard as it can be to begin with. We go through the usual processes with the first interview, second interview, but one thing that we really strongly encourage is that people will come to the office for at least 2 to 3 months. And that is their that's their onboarding process. So we bring them to the office and then we really, once they're thrown in with the team members, people understand very quickly like if they're a good fit or not. We've got a pro... We even asked them down to, like, we look through, as well as looking through the CVs, like, we asked them a lot about their social life. Everyone that we have on our team in Barcelona, especially working in-house, we all have very similar interests. And again, we think that's just as important as, when I say similar interests, I don't just mean interests, I also mean values as well, both kind of personally and from a work ethic as well. Mm-hmm. So we make sure that those people that we bring on kind of are in line with that. We have a set of values that we have within our onboarding and our hiring process. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we really try and make sure they fit that, fit that profile before bringing them on.
Yeah, makes sense. And then, so you start off, so all new team members, they are working out of the office to start for the first few months. And then is your mm-hmm. team mostly remote?
I would say we're about 50-50 at the moment. So we're split between the UK and Spain.
Okay, gotcha. And then, so what would you say are the main benefits of investing in company culture and happy employees?
I think as well as a workplace where not just the employees want to come to, but also like myself as a business owner, mm-hmm. it's rewarding to be able to create a culture and create a place where people want to come to work. They shout about the results they get. They're talking about the play. Like a lot of people we get referred for new hires are people that are friends with our staff as well. And they know them from other agencies and they've spoken about us, saying how much they like it working with us. So we just try not to put, I've worked agencies before. I mean, I know I said that I was at the beginning of the company working construction, but I have my dabs in agency experience as well and working within agencies mm-hmm. When I was younger. And I understand it's a lot of pressure a lot of the time. People are working long hours and they're under a lot of pressure, like more clients being onboarded. Sales teams might be setting unrealistic goals. So we're really just trying to find that balance there and making sure that we're giving that, just creating a culture which people want to come to work to every day.
Yeah, it's a really fast paced work environment and the burnout rate is really high in digital marketing in agencies. So that's really cool that you guys offer that sort of like that flexi schedule they can work around, if they have kids and that sort of thing. Are there any other perks that you offer your team that you haven't mentioned?
I can go through our perks. At the moment, our most popular perk is finish at 12 Fridays. That's been really, really popular recently.
But
nice. It's great. It gives everyone a bit more time, so you feel like you've got a real weekend, I guess, rather than trying to fit everything into the Saturday and Sunday. So that really helps. But
is there something that they have to do to get that perk, or is that just available to everyone on your team?
That's available after induction, after probation, sorry. So after the first 3 months they get this.
Gotcha. Whereas
the one kind of caveat to this is that people know if they have jobs to do still. So if for any reason the team know that they have something that has to be delivered on mm-hmm. Friday, they won't leave at 12. You have a couple more hours to finish things off. But yeah, I would say 80-90% of the time, all of the team are finishing at 12 on a Friday. Anyone ends up working after, it's usually me finishing off some bits, but I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I think that's just the life of an agency owner anyway. But
exactly.
We've taken a big step as well. We know how much the lockdowns last year had an effect on people just getting out and about, really. So we've taken steps to invest into fitness plans. So gym memberships. We do heavily subsidized gym memberships. And there's also this great company. They're based in Barcelona, but they were also actually in California. So I'm not sure if any of your listeners are from there, but they're called Calazumos. And they do like fitness classes, they do like meals, like they're basically a big community that they're just a really positive group of people. And a few of our team members go there. We include it in our perks as well.
Very cool.
So it's just a good, it's a good place for people to go, like keep healthy, eat well, meet friends. It's a really nice perk that we offer.
Definitely. That's great.
And yeah, we've also looked to partner up with BetterHelp over the last month or so. Offer counseling for the team as well, so not many people need it. Yeah, it's because I looked into it myself some time ago, as a lot of people have, and it was so beneficial. And I've always not really gone for it because of it's just the price point, which makes such a difference to people's lives, I think. But mm-hmm. the price point, I guess, for some people might be off-putting. I think even if people can possibly afford it in their budget, they might put it off just because it's expense they don't feel is necessary. So
I've seen
the benefits from it firsthand. So we've offered it now to all of our staff. All of our staff as a perk. So
that's
if anyone
amazing.
Needs it, we offer them 2 free sessions a month.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think of other perks we've got. We've got all the others like ping pong tables and coffee machines and fruit at work that you normally get with the
But
I would say our main perks are those 3 that I just mentioned.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Sounds like a really cool place to work.
Yeah, well, if you're ever in Barcelona, you're more than welcome to pop by the office.
Awesome. And so what are some lessons that you've learned from owning a marketing agency and running a team?
I would say that it's important to listen. You need to listen to the team. You need to make sure that you're not the one kind of barking orders down everyone's throat.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to, one thing you also need to learn, one of the biggest things I've learned was you need to actually understand that as an agency owner, you shouldn't just think of yourself as the boss, which I've seen in a lot of other companies before. And what I mean by that is that you shouldn't think that your team are reliant on you, because you're just as reliant on your team as they are on you. So you need to really make sure that what you're offering or the workplace that you're providing reflects that, rather than just saying, I'm the boss, you have to be here, X, Y, Z,
mm-hmm.
you have to do that. Now, I think that's really important as well.
Putting more of an emphasis on the fact that you are a team and it's a team effort, you all got to do it together.
Exactly.
Okay. And then, so are there any other mistakes that you've noticed that other agencies are maybe making when it comes to managing their teams?
I would say that's one of the main ones I've seen, not listening to staff.
Yeah.
Or maybe not asking them enough about the issues that they're having, or not listening.
Okay.
Seeing where work's going wrong. I've seen before as well, like a sales teams, I definitely don't want to call out sales teams, but I've definitely seen before unrealistic targets being set, and it might be good to get that sale in and get the commission. But I think if we're talking about the longevity of a client,
mm-hmm.
what we found is just being more realistic, especially about SEO. That's a real big one.
Yep.
We have a lot of customers come to us that have said, oh, the old agency guaranteed us number one spot in 6 months. Otherwise they get to work for free until we get that spot. And it's just not true. The unrealistic milestones might work to get people's foot in the door. But if we're talking about longevity, which I think is the name of the game of any agency from an employment perspective or from a client retention perspective, you really need to be transparent about your offering and what people can expect to get from working with you.
I agree. And where do you see Minty Digital in 5 years' time?
Well, our next plan is we're looking to expand to the US. So our first target is Miami.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll be visiting next year. We've got 1 or 2 clients there at the moment, and there's luckily direct flights from Barcelona. So yeah, maybe you'll see more of us next year over your side of the pond, as we stay over here. But
yes, that'd be awesome. Very exciting.
Yeah, that's the plan. We've got half of our team, well, a good number of our team speak Spanish and native Spanish speakers as well. So we're looking to really just expand into the Spanish and English speaking markets. And from our experience, the first best spot in the US to go would be Miami, because there's a good split of that language
yes.
being spoken there and worked with. And also, imagine it's going to be a beautiful place to try and work from.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense. That's really exciting. Alrighty. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast 5, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
It's a book about hiring. It's quite a popular one. A lot of people have heard about it before in the agency space, but it's worth reading. You can easily find it on Amazon. It's just teaches all about reasons you should hire rather than just around skill sets.
Perfect. And what does your morning routine look like?
At the moment, it changes around the year depending on depending on what I'm trying to focus on. But at the moment,
right,
I'm normally up around 7 o'clock, coffee. I go for a run 3 or 4 times a week. And yeah, I try and switch off. I try and stay off my emails until around 10 o'clock, get into work, get myself focused for the day. And yeah.
Don't get distracted by your emails.
No, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is. It's a rabbit hole.
Don't let your inbox dictate your day. Someone told me once and it really stuck.
Yeah, great advice. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's a gentleman named Rob Pierre, who's a owner of an absolutely giant global agency called Jellyfish. I reached out to him a couple of years after starting the business, and he gave me some real solid advice, which I won't be able to go into on this podcast, but just some real good advice on how to grow the agency. And yeah, we've kept in touch.
Okay, great. And then, so what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, my favorite online tool. Okay, so no, yeah, it's a poor question. So at the moment, my favorite tool at the moment is the hunter.io Chrome extension.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with it before, but I do a lot of outreach now, reaching out to people, trying to get, we're getting featured on podcasts, we're getting content, press releases out. And we're always trying to get, always trying to get journalist details. So that has proved absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
I could probably give you a list of 10, but yeah, that would be my top tool at the moment.
I know it's a loaded question. There's way too many great tools out there.
Yeah.
And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Focus and specialize in one area. A lot of people have said this before.
That's a good one.
I think try and be a master of one trade.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Charlie. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.